Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
And just like that, Christmas is upon us. Wow. Listen, for those of you at home or watching in the broadcast around the world, you have got to stop by here over the month of December. The place looks amazing. Christmas has definitely come, and the church is just ready for Christmas fun. Big thanks to Pastor Susan, to Caitlin, to Kurt, and their teams of volunteers for doing such an absolutely amazing job from top to bottom, preparing us for this season of outreach. You know, more than 50 of you, even for those of you that are here in the house, some of you know this to be true because more than 50 of you were here right after church all the way till about 6 o'clock at night on Sunday and then also tweaking things over the week, but it looks spectacular. And so we're feeling ready. It's a big job, but with a big purpose, which is truly exciting. And that's where you all come into the picture. So we're ready from a decor standpoint, which is lovely, but we need you. We need you to be inviting your friends, your family, your neighbors, your coworkers. We need you to bring folks out to one of our Sunday Christmas celebration services for our new Christmas Encounters message series, and of course, to the celebration and the highlight of our Christmas season, our candlelight family services at 3, 4:30 and 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve. You do not want to miss this. And so on your seats today when you came in, the same as last week, you have invitations that look just like this one, hot off the press. Get these into the hands of the people that you're believing to come. It's got all the information here about the new series, as well as all the services on Christmas Eve. You're not going to want to miss it. And then also on your seat is a prayer card that looks like this. It's got five blanks on there. We want you to prayerfully consider five people that you're praying for this Christmas season that you plan to invite. So take at least five invitations. You can take them all off the seat. We don't want to see any left here today. You can grab more at the Welcome Center on the way out. Take as many as you need and invite as many people as possible. For those of you joining us online, you can also go on our social media and take the digital version of our Christmas invitation and send it to your friends. Spread the news for those that are in the area. We'd love to have you be a part of this exciting time of the year. And then take this prayer card, slide it into your Bible, put it on your fridge, put it somewhere at home that will remind you to be praying for the people that you're inviting. Let's believe that this would be more than just a wonderful tradition and a great memory for you and your family. This will be transformational, that people's lives will be changed as they receive the free gift of salvation that only comes through Jesus. And really, that is what this season is all about. And so we want you to be a part of that whole process as we reach out and love on the people that are around us, the people that we're believing for, and let's pack this place out. Listen, if you weren't here last year, let me tell you what, that in those three services on Christmas Eve, come early, because if you want a good seat, it fills up quick. And so we want you to have the best seat possible. All right, today we are continuing with Advent and the candle of peace, as you've heard. And we're reminded of the Prince of Peace himself and his miraculous entrance into the world. And so our Encounters series will examine the Nativity story through fresh eyes as we explore the awe-filled angelic encounters that prepared the way for the birth of Jesus. From Mary's faithful response to Joseph's quiet obedience amid uncertainty, right through to the shepherds and the wonder that they experience in the fields. Each moment, it reveals what happens when heaven breaks into everyday life. These are more than ancient events. They are divine disruptions that still speak today. And each encounter God meets ordinary people with extraordinary purpose, calling them to trust, to obey, and to worship. And just like them, all of you are invited to encounter Jesus yourself, not only as a baby in a manger, but as a living Savior who still speaks, who still moves, who still transforms hearts and lives today. So whether you're here or out there, that invitation is for you. And each week we'll ask the question, what happens when God interrupts the ordinary with the extraordinary? Because that's what we're looking at throughout this series. And it all begins with a young girl named Mary, spoken of by the prophet Isaiah more than 700 years before this moment in biblical history even happened. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. This is what Isaiah says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. So the prophecy recorded here in Isaiah 7:14 was made during the 8th century BC, but would not be fulfilled until the 1st century AD with Mary and Jesus. That means that there had been generations of waiting and waiting and waiting until the Lord finally spoke into a very dark and difficult time. In the city of Nazareth, God sent the angel Gabriel to speak to a young girl named Mary. Now, waiting is no fun. No fun for anybody, right? Whether it's anticipating a vacation, maybe it's fear of a test result that you're waiting on, or the aggravation of a delayed flight. Nobody likes that, especially this time of the year, as family is traveling to see family and you get weather disruptions. That waiting can be brutal. It can be painful. You know, about a year and a half ago, my doctor flagged something that concerned him during my regular routine checkup. So he says, "You know what, just to be on the safe side, let's schedule a procedure to run some tests and to rule some things out." And then he mentioned a few things, and he just kind of quickly motored past them. And he may have moved by them quickly, maybe because he didn't want me dwelling on them, but what I heard stopped me in my tracks. I heard some words that I had never heard in relation to my life. And so I said, "Okay, we'll wait for the procedure." And so the waiting began. And then the waiting itself was brutal. It was brutal because it kept me up at night. I kept staring at the ceiling, wondering, thinking. It was warring against the peace I have in Christ. So finally, the day of the procedure came, and I was in and out, and the procedure itself went well. But now I had to wait for the results. And so we'll get back to you. We'll call you. More waiting. More waiting. So in the end, thankfully, the tests returned clear. But I tell you what, during that time, it was very difficult to concentrate. It was hard to keep my focus. It was almost impossible to be present in the moment because of what I was warring with in my mind. And so in this time of lost sleep, lost life, and for many people, lost peace, because not all of those results come back the way that we want them to. And then we're walking through a series of tests and procedures as we believe God for a miracle. And that miracle sometimes, most times, requires more waiting. Advent, as we know, is all about waiting. It's about waiting. As we are drawn into this spiritual discipline of anticipation. So Mary, that we start with today, the mother of Jesus, she kind of serves as our guide today, the one in whom we see the patience of God, right? Something that I can always use more of in my life. A little bit of patience doesn't hurt anybody. And this time of the year, some of us are lacking in it. But Mary, she guides us through what she went through in her own life. Isaac S. Villages, he wrote this brilliant published essay on Mary's season of waiting. And he said this, he said, Mary waits for the Messiah. And in doing so, she invites us into a way of life that welcomes the gospel through the posture of waiting. Now, the nativity story itself, it talks a lot about how God entered the world, this miraculous, mysterious moment, but it too involved waiting. Now, if we look at scripture, the nativity story itself is found in the New Testament in the books of Matthew and Luke, specifically Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through chapter 2, verse 23, and Luke chapter 1, 26 through chapter 2, verse 40. Now, both Gospels describe Jesus' birth in Bethlehem, but they offer different accounts and include different details. Matthew focuses more on Joseph's perspective, which we're going to talk more about next week. And he mentions the angel who appeared to him, a star that the Magi from the east saw. Talks about the family fleeing to Egypt. This is Joseph's perspective of what happened in this miraculous moment. Whereas the book of Luke focuses more on Mary's perspective, which is our focus today. Mentions the angel Gabriel's visit. Talks about no room at the inn and Jesus being placed in a manger. Talks about angels appearing to shepherds in the fields, which we're going to get into more on episode 3. But I think we first need to understand a few things about the book of Luke, and specifically its author. Obviously, we know it is Luke, but many people don't realize that because of the ordering of our New Testament, that it's actually going to split up a two-volume work, which is the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. Acts is pretty much part two of the book of Luke, both written by Luke and written to the same person. And yet when you open your Bible, smack between the two of them is the book of John. And so this kind of disrupts and hinders the literary flow of what's happening here in this moment. And yet you need both books to understand what is happening here. And you get more of an appreciation and I think of a deeper understanding when you see who wrote them and how it was written. But before we jump into what Luke specifically says about Mary and why it's important, I want to point you to who he wrote the book to. Luke chapter 1, verses 1 to 4 says this. It says, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those from whom the first eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, a very detailed individual, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught. So here we see that the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts were written by Luke to a man named Theophilus. Let's look at the beginning of Acts, just to tie in again what I'm talking about. Acts 1, 1 to 2 says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he had chosen. So same guy, different book. So Theophilus, he wants more, right? He wants more of this teaching about who Jesus was. Now, we also know that the man that this book was written to, Theophilus, was a lover of God. It's actually right there in his name. Theo, right? Which we get the word theology, a study of God, right? Means God. And Philus, like Philadelphia, right? The city of brotherly love. It means lover of. So Theophilus, lover of God. This was a man who had a great love for God and a hunger to understand the things he was being taught. So scholars believe that the most excellent Theophilus, most excellent, this is a Bill and Ted origin story here, right, of this terminology. But most scholars believe that the most excellent Theophilus was likely a wealthy Roman benefactor who helped fund the putting together for Luke of these these books. So here's really what I don't want you to miss. It's important to understand who Luke is talking to, but this is for all of us. Luke 1 verse 4 says, this is why he's writing the book to Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught. Luke wanted Theophilus to understand with certainty who Jesus was. The same way that I want each of you, as lovers of God, to understand with certainty the things that I'm teaching. Today, that focus is how Jesus was first announced to the world, the most incredible announcement that had ever been, and how it happened through Mary's angelic encounter. And I want all of you, whether here or out there watching the broadcast, I want you too to know with certainty that like Mary, when God announced his son is coming, he too, God, waited with Mary, right? Makes sense. Now, think about this for a minute. God had the power to bring about this miraculous conception in Mary where she was impregnated and brought about a son in this supernatural way. Now, God could have had her give birth the next day, could have had her give birth the end of the week or a month instead of 9 months, but instead, he went through the same process that you and I did for proper growth and healthy growth, and God waited with Mary. Yes, God waits with us. It's an important part, I believe, of the good news. And that gives me, I don't know about you, but it gives me incredible comfort that I am never alone in my waiting. So Advent is also about the way that he waits with us. So today, if you're waiting on a miracle in your life for you or your family, know that you do not wait alone for God to move, that God waits with you. It is a process of growth that we cannot avoid because God knows that wherever it is we're called to go, that our growth as disciples is absolutely necessary. But you don't have to feel alone in your waiting because he waits with you. Let's read the full account of Luke 1, 26 through 38, where the words of our video narrator was based. Luke 1, 26 to 38 says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. Very important to know that. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at the words and wondered what kind of greeting this could be. The truth is, if an angel appeared to you, it could be good news or very bad news. And she was trying to determine which one it was. And so, greatly troubled is a polite way of saying she was terrified. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is already in her sixth month. For no word, listen to this, for no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. So, when Mary first hears the news, she's greatly troubled. She's terrified. She doesn't know what's happening in this moment. this encounter she's having. How can this be? Mary understands her basic biology, right? That intimacy, that intimate knowledge, it needs to come first. So Gabriel's announcement seemed ridiculous, right? The idea that the creator of the universe needs her to do this. The idea that the creator of the universe needs you and I to go into all the world, share the gospel, share the good news, and make disciples also seems ridiculous. It also seems like we could say, well, how can this be? You're powerful. You're an all-knowing, all-powerful God. You can do this on your own, and yet he chose us. And yet, even though Mary is terrified and completely surprised in this encounter by the strangest news that anybody has ever heard, I think what's most incredible is Mary's response. Now, remember, the angel Gabriel is a messenger who was entrusted to deliver a number of important messages for God himself, to speak on God's behalf. He appears at least three times in the Bible. Actually, the first one would count as a fourth as to where he's referenced, two in Daniel, two in the book of Luke. First, to the prophet Daniel, he appears and explains this disturbing vision that Daniel has about the end of things in Daniel 8:16, which absolutely terrified him too. That was his initial encounter. Then he also appears again in Daniel to provide more insight in Daniel 9:21. Next, he appears to the old priest Zechariah, struck silent for his unbelief in the moment, to announce the miraculous birth of John the Baptist to his well along in years, the Bible says, his wife Elizabeth in Luke 1:19. And then finally, Gabriel appears to the Virgin Mary that she would conceive and bear a son, and we see that in Luke 1:26 through 38. Now, Gabriel's name means God is great. And as the angel of Annunciation who brings this announcement, this incredible news, he is the one who revealed that the Savior was to be called Jesus. So nobody, not just anybody, gets this kind of mission. This was given to the highest ranking angel there was. And in all three appearances, Gabriel, interestingly enough, was met with fear. People were terrified. They were greatly troubled, as Scripture says. That's why in all these occasions, he starts by saying, don't be afraid. It's going to be okay. I'm not here to do you harm. I think one translation says, I'm not here to kill you, Mary, right? We know that the angel Gabriel is an angel, again, of high rank, with a very favored position, who stands, the Bible says, in the presence of God. And he was trusted to deliver important messages on God's behalf, like Jesus coming into the world. And so despite this terrifying angelic encounter, Mary's response is not what most of us would think it would be. Because if an angel appeared in this way, and we too were greatly troubled, we'd be like, nope, not going to happen. No, thank you. Don't want anything to do with this. Too crazy for me. But you know what? Instead, her response was different than we would anticipate. Luke 1:37 to 38, again in another translation says, for nothing will be impossible with God. Then Mary said, here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. And then the angel departed from her. Here am I. Let it be with me according to your word. So Mary, in this moment, she surrenders control and she welcomes God's mysterious purpose for her life. She embraces God's plan for the world. Even though she doesn't fully understand all of it, she chooses in that moment to say yes. You know, Mary's story is now ours. We heard the good news and we've been changed by it. And like Mary, we might have a bunch of excuses why this won't work. I'm not ready. I need to clean myself up more. Maybe next year. Like, let's not do this right now. But that's not how God operates. God doesn't wait until we think we're ready. Because he knows that we have everything we need to do what he's called us to do within us right now. Because he abides within us. And he is all that we need. God announces his plan for our lives, and he waits with us to see it fulfilled as we walk it out by his Spirit. When God comes in and interrupts the ordinary with the extraordinary, faith invites us to say yes, even when we don't have all the answers. In faith, we step out and say, yes, Lord, I trust you. So as we close today, let me leave you with three questions. The first one is this: where is God interrupting your plans? Because we all have them. Second question is, what fear is stopping your yes? And then finally, how can you shift from how can this be, like I don't know if I can do that, to here am I, let it be with me according to your word. Think about that. How can we make that shift from not seeing us being able to do it to having the same posture and the same willingness to say yes to God like Mary did when she says, here am I. I pray that each of us today would have that same response. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for this miraculous and mysterious story that we can be confident in understanding so that our knowledge of it would be strengthened, our understanding of who you are and the plan of salvation that went into to play long before we were ever on the scene. Today, like Mary, we are thankful that in our waiting, you wait with us. And that, Lord, when you open and unfold your plan for our lives and our family, that instead of resisting because of our limited ability to accept, to believe, or to feel qualified or not, help us to respond as Mary did in that incredible angelic encounter, that awe-filled moment when she says, here am I, let it be according to your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.